Hey, what's up, HDC Online? So good to get to be with you. What a great recap of our missions trip. Just so much great stuff that's happening there. It's just been such a fun summer to see God at work, to see what he's up to, what he's doing. After taking a year off, just fun to get back to doing some awesome stuff like camp and like missions trips. And even you can see behind me, our stage looks a little different this week as we are prepping for kids' summer day camp. So just so much fun stuff going on. My name's Jackson. If you don't know me, I'm excited to be here with you as we continue to plug along in our Real Love, Real Life series. And I love this series because really what this series has been is it's been just kind of a serious gut check for us of really asking the question, am I living real life with Jesus? And that's a scary question for us to ask. It's a scary question because the answer might be no. And I think for many of us, hopefully throughout this series, maybe the answer has been, I'm not living real life with Jesus. Maybe it's not a no, but maybe I'm not living real life with Jesus as much as I thought I was. And so there's been some conviction for me throughout this series as John has been painting out a really clear light and dark, black and white. This is what real life with Jesus looks like. And so his gut check question for us as we come back to his epistle today is this. It's there in your notes. You could see it in the chat. Am I living real life with Jesus by listening and submitting to those teaching real truth? Am I living a real life with Jesus by listening and submitting to those teaching real truth? Today, we're gonna look at false teachers, which is a huge theme throughout the New Testament. And false teaching is kind of interesting for us today because it's not something that we talk about nearly as much, but it was a big theme for the New Testament, which is living in the New Covenant, New Testament era. It should be a big theme for us, something that we give some attention to. And I think false teaching can be a weird thing for us as Christians because it tends to land in one or another extreme. We either tend to pay way too much attention to false teachers and false teaching, and what we end up trying to do is we end up trying to focus all of our time and effort and energy on identifying and calling out false teachers. But then there's another side of it where we just act like false teaching doesn't exist anymore. The church is institutionalized now. We don't really have to worry about it. I trust whoever is teaching me implicitly, and so I just kind of take that, and that's all the spiritual feeding I get. And then we leave ourselves susceptible to false teaching. And generally, when we're talking about false teaching through scripture, and as John's gonna be talking about it, we're not just talking about false information or anything that's just not true. We're talking about specific teaching that is false as it pertains to Christianity. False teaching about the person of God, about the Trinity, about the person of Jesus, his divinity, his work on the cross, his resurrection, the singularity of him as a path to salvation. We're talking even about false teaching of calling things that are sinful as though they are not, calling sinful things righteous or righteous things sinful. Those things would fall in line with false teaching. And I think generally when we're talking about false teaching, we can think about somebody with a microphone who's kind of doing a monologue type thing like I'm doing, which is definitely a way that false teaching still happens. Not to say that I am participating in false teaching right now, but that's definitely a mode that false teaching happens through. Some of you are looking at me a little suspicious now. But another way that false teaching is prevalent today with the technology available to us is through beautifully designed posts on our Instagram and our Facebook that say things that sound and seem true about God that just aren't. That maybe you have seen reposted to the pages and stories of your friends, or maybe even some that as you look over them after today, you might say, oh man, I have reposted some of those things that just weren't true about the person of God or the person of Jesus or the way that God approaches sin or whatever. So false teaching is prevalent. It's everywhere. It's easily accessible to us today. And so the great thing is John's gonna tell us how to identify false teaching and then what to do about it when we do identify it. So let's get into what John has for us as we continue in 1 John chapter 2. This is what he says in verse 18. He says, "Dear children, this is the last hour and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Some of you are like, whoa, 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 Jackson, you said we were gonna be talking about false teaching and now we're talking about the Antichrist and an army of Antichrist. Like that sounds way more daunting and intimidating. What are we talking about? Is this even about false teaching or are we talking about something super freaky and scary here? And it's really easy when the term Antichrist comes up or other kind of spiritual or maybe even end times terms come up for us in scripture or in other places culturally. It's easy to take a lack of understanding that we have about that thing and fill in suspicion, right? It's easy to let the latest horror movie or apocalyptic film that we've seen kind of inform us of what the Antichrist actually is. But one thing that superstition will always do, spiritual superstition especially, will always give more power and more fear to something that you give superstition to. So rather than letting your superstition inform what the Antichrist is, let's allow scripture to inform what John is talking about, as he's mentioning both a singular Antichrist, which would be the end times Antichrist, and also a plural set of Antichrists, and that would pertain to the false teachers that we're gonna be looking at today. And John's gonna have a lot more teaching, and there will be a lot more teaching in this series on that topic of the Antichrist. But here's plain and simple what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about the Antichrist. You could see there in your notes that anti just means against or instead of. And both of these actually end up becoming perfect definitions for what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist and the plural Antichrist are both against Christ, but they are also offering alternate to Christ. They're offering something instead of Christ. The Antichrist singular offers themselves as the alternate substitute for Christ. And these false teachers, these plural Antichrists, they are offering alternative paths to God. They are offering alternative teaching to God. So both are opposed and offering something instead of. And I think it's really important as we're letting the Bible inform us and we're not allowing superstition to inform things that we maybe don't understand fully or things that sound scary or intimidating. As we let the Bible inform that, if we look at Jesus's teaching in Matthew 24, this is what Jesus said. Don't be alarmed. This isn't a surprise to Jesus. This is what he says in Matthew 24. He says at that time, talking about later after he has ascended and before he comes back, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Jesus isn't panicking. This isn't some kind of surprise to Jesus. Jesus didn't set up and build the church and say, just so long as false teachers don't creep in, everything will be fine. Jesus was like, it's going to happen. This is going to be something that happens in the future. But for Jesus, if this isn't a surprise, then to us, we shouldn't be too nervous because we should know that Jesus is gonna take good care of us and that he sees these things. This isn't some kind of out of the blue thing that's happening. So let's get into what John says about how we can identify false teachers and what to do about them. Because I'm sure even as you're thinking in this topic right now, though maybe earlier it sounded like something far off, maybe it seems a lot closer now through our social media pages, through different accounts that we might follow or our friends might follow, that it is so rampant and everywhere that we can receive teaching that is a little bit more pleasing to hear, that maybe is a little easier to hear, more exciting or more life-giving, but it doesn't actually line up with scripture. And we want to let scripture inform us of what is real truth. And we want to submit to teachings on real truth. So this is what John says in how to identify false teachers in the next verse 19. This is what he says, speaking of these plural antichrists, these plural false teachers. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. You could see the first way that John is saying that you can identify false teachers is that they're going to depart from the body of Christ. They're going to depart from the body of Christ. And when we talk about the body of Christ, I mean, John's got this really kind of in this body illustration, John's kind of got this beautiful picture that really the body is gonna kind of flush out false teachers almost like an infection or something like that, right? Like there's going to be kind of a flushing out of false teachers. There's not gonna be a lot of room or space for them in communities of faith in the body of Christ. And when we talk about the body of Christ, we're not just talking about HDC. And we're not only just not talking about HDC, we're not just talking about every church alive on the planet right now, we're talking about the historical church as well. Christians who have been dead for a long time, but are also a part of the body. And so what John is saying is most likely an antichrist, a false teacher, somebody who is participating in false teaching, they're going to leave a community of faith. They're going to leave a local church because they just won't fit. They don't belong. And that's going to kind of force them out. And you could kind of track that. I mean, there's so many cults that we have in recent history that have started in a local church and somebody leaving that local church saying, oh no, there's this new teaching from God. There's a new way to approach this. And I'm going to kind of start my own church, start my own thing. And I'm going to lead that charge. And we've seen those to be cults along the way. So John's saying likely there's going to be an actual physical departing from the community of faith because it's just not gonna fit. They just won't belong. But what can certainly happen, what you can bank on with a false teacher is that they will absolutely depart from the historical body of Christ, being the historical doctrine, teachings, and belief of the body of Christ. When somebody comes along and said, oh, well, they were just old and they just didn't get it, but there's actually a new way to understand scripture. There's a new way to approach God and God has told me about this and I'm going to lead this new thing. There's this departing from the historical aspects of what the church has believed and held fast to time over time. So you can bank on the fact that false teachers will likely leave a community of faith, but will absolutely leave the teaching and the doctrine of the historical church. B.H. Carroll, who founded Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, has a great quote about this pertaining to false teachers. And this is what he says. It's just real practical for us. He says, when you see a star fall, you know it's not a star. And we actually know that that's the truth, actually, that these things that we call shooting stars, they're actually asteroids and comets that are coming into the atmosphere and creating this bright light as they're catching on fire and all this stuff. And I don't understand the science of it, so I'm not going to pretend to. But we know that they're not actually stars because when they fall, that's how we know that they're not stars. So in the same way, when somebody departs from the community of faith, when somebody departs from the historical church, that's how you know. That's one of the ways that John says here that you can know. Another way that John presents here a little bit later in our passage in 1 John 2, starting in verse 22, this is what John says. He says, who is the liar? It's whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You could see there point two of how to identify false teachers. They'll deny Christ. They'll deny Christ. And it's easy to think when we're talking about denying Christ of a really hostile denial of Christ, right? That Christ just never existed, that he was never born, that there was never a physical man who walked the earth who was Jesus. But there's also a lot more teachings on that are would be false teachings and denying Christ that maybe seem pro-Jesus on the surface. Things like saying, you know, he's a really great guy. And he knew a lot about God and he was a great teacher and a prophet, but he wasn't God. Or saying things like, you know, Jesus is a great path to God, but there's lots of other paths to God as well. These things are maybe partially endorsing Jesus as a good guy or as maybe even a savior, but not the savior. They deny the exclusivity of Jesus. They deny the divinity of Jesus. Though they enjoy Jesus, they're excited about Jesus, they think he's a good dude, they don't fully encompass what the word of God teaches about Jesus. Jesus is not a way to God. He is the way to God. Jesus paid for that way in his blood by dying on a cross as a sinless God with a bod, right? God in a body died sinless on a cross and 3 days later rose again to conquer sin and death. This is the and he then is the only way to God, the only way to be in right relationship with God. And that is the exclusivity of life with Jesus. He is the savior, not a savior. So they will, false teachers will deny Christ. They will deny Christ. They will deny things about him. that the Bible teaches and that we hold fast to. Another way that John says that you can identify a false teacher is a little bit later in the passage in verse 26. This is what he says. He says, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Again, talking about these false teachers, the word that he uses here is actually a really emphatic way of saying that they lie, that they are excellent liars, that they lie abundantly. And really even this translation here in the NIV of leading astray, you can kind of almost think in John's image of the light and the darkness, right? That there is there's maybe a little glimmer of light down this path, and there's a false teacher who is trying to lead people down this path. Now, knowing that there's no light any further down the path and that it actually just leads to deeper and to greater darkness, what somebody's gonna have to say, that person who's leading that trail guide down the path that's gonna lead to greater darkness, that false teacher, what they're gonna have to say along the way is they're going to have to increasingly lie to keep people moving down the line. They're gonna have to say things like, we're almost there, just a little bit further than we thought. It's actually gonna be better than we even expected, because none of those things are ever going to deliver. So to move further down the line, there's going to have to be lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. So John actually is really communicating to us that false teachers are going to be, they're gonna expose themselves quite publicly. It's gonna be pretty clear. They're going to depart likely from the community of faith, but definitely from the historical body of faith. They're going to deny the person of Christ, either in his divinity or his work on the cross or the exclusivity of his salvation. And then they're also going to continuously deceive. So these are ways that we can identify false teachers, but now the question becomes, okay, well, what do we do about it? What do we do about it when we identify a false teacher? Well, this is what John tells us to do. He says, first, don't panic. Because Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. That's another blank for you there in your notes. Don't panic because Jesus is the anointed one. You're gonna see the term anointed come up a lot here in the rest of the passage as John is talking about the confidence that we get to have in the face of false teaching. Because again, this is no surprise to Jesus. He saw this coming and we're not alone in this, but Jesus is the anointed one. This is a play on words that John has kind of going on throughout the text that we might miss in our translation. In Greek, Christ means the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. And the reason that John is bringing this up is because these false teachers that he's talking about were claiming to have an anointing of some fresh knowledge, some new knowledge that was gonna lead people in a new direction, right? Leading them astray down that path that would have had more lies, ultimately denying Christ and departing from the body. And they're claiming to be anointed with this new knowledge. So John is positioning them against the anointed one as anti-anointers, against the anointing or offering an alternate anointing. And then he's actually gonna talk about how we are anointed as well. So check this out, Jesus is the anointed one. It kind of becomes a big deal then to say, okay, well then what does anointing mean? If Jesus is the anointed one, then what are we talking about when we talk about anointing? Well, you could see there in your notes a definition of anointed. To be anointed biblically is to be divinely set apart for a divine purpose to accomplish a divine work. I know there's a lot of divines that show up there, but the reason for it is that it is this God-initiated setting apart for a God-desired purpose to accomplish a work on behalf of God. In the backdrop of John's mind as he is using this term anointed, John is thinking about things in the Old Testament like prophets and kings. Prophets and kings who were anointed and set apart to then represent God to his nation, to call them to repentance, to restore them to right relationship, to lead them in the direction that he desired. These were people who were anointed. There's a confidence that comes with anointing. This confidence that, yeah, I am anointed. I am set apart by God for a specific purpose. But then there's also an expectation to obey and to step in line with that purpose, to step in line and accomplish the work that we've been called to now. And so if anybody is the anointed one, it's Jesus, right? Set apart from the beginning of time, anointed of all anointed, to come and reconcile a broken relationship between all of humanity and God, and to accomplish a divine work on the cross by dying and raising 3 days later, conquering sin and death once and for all for everyone who believes in him. He is the anointed one, right? Anointed to the utmost. So John says, first of all, don't panic. If there's false teachers, if there's people who are claiming to be anointed that aren't, don't worry about it, because Jesus is the supremely anointed one. He is as anointed as it gets. And here's the cool part too, is that that actually means something for you and me. Check out what John says here in verses, starting in verse 20. This is what he says. He says, but you, talking to believers now, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. And a little bit later in our passage, he says, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also remain in the Son and the Father. And this is what he promised to us, eternal life. So don't panic, because Jesus is the supremely anointed one. But also don't panic, because believers, those who believe in what Jesus has done, they are anointed with the Holy Spirit. They are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Believers are set apart by God for a specific divine purpose to accomplish divine work. There is, again, similar to prophets and kings, there is a confidence that comes with this. John is saying, don't let superstition and the false teaching that is coming from these false teachers, don't let it dissuade you from the confidence that you have in the truth. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you know the truth. You know that Jesus is the way to the Father, that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and that the only way you can be right with God is through the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, conquering sin and death. You know the truth. You know that there's nothing extra. There's no self-help to add on top of that. There's no upper echelon of knowledge. You know the truth. Have confidence in the fact that you are now, because you know the truth and have responded to it, you are now anointed with God's very presence. God's very presence. John is imploring believers to have confidence in the face of this adversity, to not let superstition about these false anointers, these antichrists, these false teachers, to not allow that superstition about them, that lack of understanding of what they're saying, to not allow that to increase their fear and give more confidence away to those who are false anointers. And this is actually what our unique purpose is as we are anointed now. At HDC, we talk all the time about your oikos. Your oikos is 8 to 15 people that God has supernaturally and strategically placed in your life as your divine purpose to accomplish the divine work, that they might come to know him. This is the anointing and the purpose that has been set on our lives as believers. So John is saying, don't give away confidence to false teachers. Don't succumb to the false teaching that they're bringing. Don't in your lack of understanding, don't give away to them, but actually stay focused on the fact that you have confidence, you know the truth, and you also know what you're called to do. You know that there is a front row of people in your life who are watching your life closely like a movie, and it is your job to represent Christ to them. Don't be distracted by these false teachers. And then this is what John says, another reason not to panic, a little bit later in our passage. In verse 27, he says this, he says, as for you, speaking again to the believer, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. John is saying that the presence of God in the life of the believer is real and authentic. And as he's saying that, he's also saying the inverse is true for the false teacher. The inverse is true for the anti-anointer. And that's, don't panic because false teachers aren't anointed. False teachers aren't anointed. The counterfeit is just a perfect way for John to describe false teachers. And this is the reason that Satan uses false teachers. It's for the same reason that you and I wouldn't ever dare use a counterfeit $3 bill. Because $3 bills aren't real. There's no use in using a counterfeit $3 bill because somebody's gonna look at that and say, $3 bills don't exist. To be a good counterfeit, you have to have some semblance of reality. You have to have some semblance of real. And so false teachers, they seem to symbolize and embody real, though it is false and counterfeit. It's false and it's counterfeit. You see, John says something unique in here as he's talking about the confidence that we get to have as believers in the face of this counterfeit anointing. John says that there's no need for teaching in the life of the believer. And so you might have read that there or seen that as we're talking, and you might have thought, great, Jackson, like I don't need to listen to you anymore. Apparently what John's saying is I don't need anybody to teach me anything. So I'm just gonna move along, hop on to something else on YouTube or whatever. Before you go down that route, let's just round that out with the rest of scripture here. This is what Ephesians 4 says about teaching. It says that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And also in 2 Timothy, Paul again writes, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, scripture says that teaching isn't optional in the life of the believer and that it actually serves to prepare and to equip the believer to better fulfill, better live in their anointing. They're being set apart for a unique purpose and a unique work that is divinely set before them. So if that's the case, then what's John talking about? John is really saying that there's not gonna be any need for somebody to teach you how to identify false teachings. There's not gonna be a huge need in your, there's definitely no need for this new teaching of these false anointers, these false teachers, right? There's no need for that new teaching, but there's also not a lot of need to identify that new teaching is false because you have the presence of God, and you, if you have the presence of God, that's because you already know what's really true, that you're sinful, in desperate need of a savior, and that Jesus is that savior, and that he's the only way to right relationship with God, and that now you are called in responding to what he has done on the cross to a unique relationship with God, to a fellowship and an obedience to God with his people. You know what's true already. It's kind of like this. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they had grown up at a church for a long time that had just given them a great foundation, that they really were built up in the word and they really understood their faith. And things were just starting to change in their life and they thought they might have needed to be at a new church. So they were testing out a couple different churches and they landed on this church plant that was brand new that they were really excited about. And they wanted my wife and I to come and check it out just because they kind of wanted some pastoral approval or whatever, right? So they just were like, hey, could you come check this out and make sure that this would be a cool spot for us to be? And so we're like, great, yeah, we'd love to. Next time we were with them, we went to church with them and we went to this church and we got in there and pretty quickly we were starting to see that things were not right. And all of a sudden the preacher gets up and all kinds of false teaching happening. And I'm thinking, shoot, they were pretty excited about this church and I don't know what I'm gonna tell them now, right? I don't want to be too mean about it, but I also don't want them to be in a spot that they're sitting under false teaching, though they have a great foundation. And so what I just kind of wanted to start with them was I just wanted to get kind of their take on the day. And this was a different set of teaching that they had heard at this church than the past few times that they had been there. And so as we're talking, I just think this is great as we're talking about this, there's no need to be taught what false teaching is. My sister-in-law, who has no Bible training, who has no degree in theology or something, as we're talking and debriefing what the experience was, she just said this to me, and I thought that this kind of encapsulates what John is talking about so well. She said, you know, as he was teaching, he just made me feel like I don't know the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit. And I said, that's a great thing for you to hone in on. That is a great way for you to discern the space. See, she already had this great foundation in the Word of God, in what a church that teaches God's word looked like. And with that and the presence of God in her life, she was very easily able to say, you know what? That's not right. Something's off with that. So John gives us a lot of reasons to not panic. Don't freak out. This isn't a surprise to Jesus. This isn't a surprise to John. You have the presence of God. You have the confidence in the real truth of the gospel that you have already heard. So now what do we do about it? What do we do about it? This is where John kind of lands in his action point against this false teaching. This is what he says. He says, and now, dear children, continue in him, being Christ, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Action point one in the face of false teaching, remain in Christ. Remain in Christ. That sounds so like elementary and simple when we're talking about something like an army of antichrists, an army of anti-anointers, an army of false teachers. And we're saying, just remain in Christ. Like that's so simple. And it is. And I actually think this is helpful no matter what, but this is particularly helpful for those of us who might not take false teaching super seriously. This is a great way to start taking it more seriously in your life, is to remain in God's word, to own the fact that the only teaching and the only feeding you get spiritually shouldn't just be from other people, but that you should own the fact that you've got to come to God's word yourself and you've got to dig into it. And even though it might not make sense at first, you've got to start saturating and owning the fact that you need to be fed from God's word, that you need to own the fact that you need to be in prayer continuously. That if you start praying and being in God's word regularly and showing up to church regularly, that all together you get in a small group in some biblical community, and now all of a sudden your life is becoming insulated with Christ. You are remaining in him. You are remaining in the light. You're extremely susceptible to false teaching when the only time you ever feed spiritually is through other people. It's an owning of the fact of your relationship with God. See, I'm a big sneaker guy. And some people, what they do when they get a really cool pair of shoes is they just put it on a shelf. They just put their shoes on a shelf and they just want everybody to see them. It's probably a really expensive pair of shoes, so they don't want to wear them and, you know, damage them at all. And so they just put them up to display them as just kind of this really cool thing that they have. And they don't ever put their shoes into use. And there's a viral video going around right now that some people thought was fake initially, and they've realized that it's true, of somebody just taking a shoe that they had left on their shelf for a long period of time, and they just rub their finger along the sole. And as they rub their finger along the sole of the shoe just starts to fall apart. It actually looks like a cake. Like it looks like it's a fake shoe. And that's what people were saying. Like, this isn't a real shoe. This is a piece of cake, whatever. It's falling apart. A shoe is falling apart like cake. And we've actually come to find out through more videos that this is actually just what happens to shoes when you don't wear them. Because when you don't put shoes into use, they fall apart. And when you don't walk out your faith, it falls apart. So remain in Christ, especially for those of us who maybe wouldn't take false teaching super seriously in our lives. This is a great action point to say, hey, I wanna take this more seriously. Dig into God's word, dig into time praying with him. Dig into biblical community, keep showing up to church. That's a great action point. John also says, he says this in the next verse, if you know that he is righteous, being Jesus again, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. to John, this is so natural that false teachers are going to be exposed for what they truly are. This is just kind of a natural reality, a natural product that is going to happen. Jesus is righteous, so if they're not in him, they're not gonna live righteously. It's just kind of falls naturally. It falls into place. And this is very, in John's simplistic light and dark thinking, very divided thinking, this is fits perfectly. And so what John is telling us here is remain on mission. Remain on mission. Focus on the righteous work ahead of you, understanding that false teachers will expose themselves. They will be seen for who they are when they deny Christ and depart from the body and deceive continuously and don't live righteously. Stay on mission. For those of us who might get a little too distracted trying to identify and call out false teachers, this is a great action point for us. Don't let the fear of false teachers, don't let the boogeyman, the superstition of false teachers so consume your thinking as a believer that all of a sudden you're not on mission anymore. Your mission has changed from loving people and seeking after investing in your oikos, in those people on the front row of your life, to now identifying and calling out false teachers. It would be like this. It would be like if you went to a sporting event or to a concert and you had, you know, your real tickets to get into that event and you show up to the security checkpoint and it'd be like you getting to the security checkpoint afraid to go through because you're looking at the people around you and you're worried that other people have counterfeit tickets. You're worried that there's other people there who don't have real tickets. So what? You have a real ticket. You've got stuff to do. Don't miss the show because you're worried about who has counterfeit tickets or who's gonna be sitting in the wrong seats. You have faith that there are systems and processes in place by that venue that they're going to weed out people with counterfeit tickets and they're going to weed out people and move them into their correct seats who are sitting in the wrong seats. In just the same way, don't lose sight of the people sitting in your seats, sitting in your front row seats, who have a clear picture of your life. Don't lose sight that your primary call is to represent Jesus to them, to bring Jesus to them, to invest in them deeply, to love them, to show them what real life with Jesus looks like. Remain in Christ, remain on mission. Let me pray for you. Dear God, we love you so much. Thank you for the confidence that we get to have in the face of so much false teaching that is available to us. We might not only stumble upon it in communities of faith, but we can find it everywhere online. And so Lord, as we seek to navigate this life, living real life with you, submitting to your real truth of the gospel, the real truth of who Jesus is, Lord, we desire to submit to real truth and live real life with you. So we thank you for the confidence that we have in your presence in our lives. We pray that you would help us stay focused on remaining in you and remaining on mission. And Lord, if there's anybody out there who is watching, who would look at their life and say, man, I have no confidence. I haven't even known the real truth of what Jesus has done for me, or I haven't responded to it. Lord, we thank you that it is so simple to respond to what you've done. It looks quite simply like just admitting that you're a sinner, that you can't do it on your own, that you're broken and you fall short. And B, believing that Jesus is the substitute, that Jesus is the only way that you could be made right with God through his death on the cross and his resurrection, conquering sin and death. And then to choose to live real life with Jesus, to let scripture speak objectively as to what real life is, and to follow him all the days of your life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Would we go out confident, seeking to remain in you and seeking to remain on mission? Amen.